Welcome, dumbheads, to Wiki World Warriors. In this series, I'll be creating a new batch of World Warriors for the very goofy Street Fighter role-playing game from White Wolf. With each World Warrior, I'll be surveying one of the goofiest elements of character generation in that system, and I'll be calling upon a different international listener each episode to help my ignorant American ass better represent the other classier nations of the world. Each episode, armed only with their helpful guidance and cursory reference to Wikipedia, I'll attempt to give one more nation its moment in the street fighting sun. Today, that nation is... Canada. Today we're discussing the World Warrior from Canada again. Countries can have more than one World Warrior. The United States does, and Canada is north of, therefore up from, therefore better than the United States. That's my mastery of geography there. Thanks, homeschooling. We've got another Canadian, because we had another Canadian dumbhead who wanted to help, and boy did he ever want to help. I have quite a character concept here for you, so let's get right into it. No need to go back to the core book to talk about Canada, we've already done that. We know what White Wolf writers of the 90s thought about Canada, which is basically, it's America's identical next-door neighbor. So let's hear about this particular character, who comes to us, by the way, from Cludrew. Thanks, Cludrew. Quote, "She was a soldier in the Canadian military, deployed overseas, but came home after an IED blast. She made a full recovery, but some of her comrades were not so lucky, which left a kind of dilemma. She joined the army because she believed that sometimes violence was needed, but the senseless violence of the war had put that into question. While pondering the question, she tried some martial arts back home in British Columbia, in one of the oldest Japanese dojos outside of Japan itself. And that felt good, but it also made her wonder if it should feel that way. Eventually, she got a job that involved living in a cabin in the country for some long stretches. She enjoyed this. She adopted a husky she dubbed Calming, and used the slow, unsteady internet connection to order a lot of French books. Not long after, she got involved in a wrestling club on a nearby reserve. The final spark that answered the question about violence came when she injured an opponent in a match. The instructor asked if she felt bad, and of course she did. Good, that means you are aware of what you have done. For her, that was the answer. The guns, and now even drone strikes, had made it so people could hurt and kill without seeing the impact that had on their opponent. Violence had become too easy. So she started pursuing combat training with more dedication than ever before, including when she was back in the army, and even started teaching Calming some hunting tricks as well. She also started practicing public speaking and reading on argument resolution, because the cost of violence was such that it should be avoided when it could be. This is also when she really realized the wrestling school on the reserve was way more competent than a little school in the backwoods had any right to be. It was hard to find a club up in the north, but still some of the visitors came from really far away. As it turns out, it was a school created in an attempt by the First Nations to get some of their traditional styles onto the, quote, underworld stage. She was the first settler to be given the opportunity to participate through this school. She accepted, as the hermit lifestyle had served its purpose, and she hoped that meeting and talking to other skilled fighters would help refine the answer on violence. So she packed her truck, complete with a War Amps drive safe sticker and a milk bag jug, which turned out not to be useful, took Calming and headed south. All right, so we have a lot of stuff here from Cludrew. As I commented during our discussion about this, arguably too cool and interesting a character for either this dumb game or this dumb podcast series. You know what? You can have one serious person in the ensemble. She's like a reverse Dan Hibiki, and I can work with that. This is also interesting in comparison to the other characters we've done so far, because Cludrew has given me an awful lot of space to interpret and sort of fill in blanks and turn dials on this character. In fact, in the original version, the pronouns were all he/she to give me room to pick what I wanted based on the composition of the rest of the roster that I'm coming up with, which I appreciated. So I get to flex my own muscles a little more here than in the others, where I was really trying to adapt somebody else's vision. So this is like very specific, very cool, but also with a lot of room. So let's get right into it. The first thing we need is a concept. This is a lot to boil down. This often happens with World of Darkness games, where, at least for me, my experience is you read all this, like a chapter and a half of deep setting material, all these sort of like provocative questions about your character and where they came from. Then the first step of character creation is, okay, you've got all these ideas boiling in your head. Can you narrow it down to an adjective and a noun? Like, basically, what do you want to play? Which is maybe a useful exercise, honestly, but it is a little tough. I'm going to say soul-searching veteran. I think the core of the character here and the most interesting thing is that she's motivated towards street fighting, not to win money or to win glory, or even to develop her martial arts per se, but to face violence and come to terms with herself and her past and the world, which is great from a gaming perspective, because unlike in a novel or something where you can write someone's story and everything goes just the way you want it to, for good or for ill for the character, in a game, you can't really control whether this cool character, you know, maybe has a big losing streak. That's rough when you've got a character whose arc is like, I need money to keep the orphanage from being burned down by the evil corporation, and then they lose a bunch. It's much better for a character like this because, you know what, you can do soul searching whether you win or lose. It's fine. Same cutscene either way, which is very efficient game design. Next up, I need a style. Now, Cludrew cleverly has given me lots of options here for style because this is a character who studied with First Nations martial artists using traditional grappling, so that's Native American wrestling. Also studied at one of the oldest Japanese dojos outside of Japan. So that gives me a chance to do something like Shotokan karate if I want to. Or because she started her training in the military, I could do special forces. I've already got a Native American wrestler, and special forces is known for incorporating some elements of other styles. So I'm going to go ahead and go with special forces for this character. I'll be looking at the intersection of all those styles when I pick her moves out. I'm sorry, this is like a joke light episode. You can, you know what, please feel free to go to the Patreon and leave nasty messages for Cludrew, not for me, because Cludrew sent in a real character, and so I'm just making a real character, okay? Join me next time for some goofy shit if you want to, but we're taking a little break today. Next up, we need a name. This is one place where I maybe would have appreciated more guidance, although without defining, you know, any gender or pronouns or anything, it's a little bit tough, but I'm not good at names. So I'm going to turn to Wikipedia here. Let's see what happens if we look up Canadian names. There is, in fact, an article for Canadian name. This is too much to get into on the podcast, so I'm just going to scan around for some names and kind of chop them up and throw them together. We got Marie as a first name for a woman, and for surnames, one of these is Roy. Marie Roy sounds like a Street Fighter name to me. I'm going to diverge very slightly from the rules of this podcast series, and I am going to Google the name Marie Roy just to make sure it's not a real famous person. Huh, looks like maybe she plays esports. She's got under 5,000 followers on either Twitter or Instagram, which, as far as I'm concerned, is not quite famous enough that I can't have a character with the same name. So Marie Roy it is. All right, on we go. It's time to prioritize attributes. So, of course, physical will be primary, except it won't, because this is the goofy character generation option that we're talking about today. Cludrew, a true overachiever, took on one of the toughest goofy character generation options in Street Fighter, and it's been right under our noses the whole time. Why the fuck do they even bother to give you the option to prioritize anything other than physical in a game called Street Fighter? I mean, granted, there is a later supplement where you get the option to play a manager if you want, but who wants to play a fucking manager in a Street Fighter game? That's like playing the donkey that pulls the wagon in a game of D&D. What are you supposed to do during all these scenes where people are street fighting? Everybody wants to play a Street Fighter, and if you're a Street Fighter, you really should be prioritizing your physical attributes. Now, they tried to create a reason to choose something else by basing some of the focus techniques on mental attributes. So, like, if you're throwing fireballs around, then that'll be based on your wits and intelligence and stuff like that. First of all, that sucks. There are lots of cases where focus techniques would be appropriate for characters who are not going to be geniuses. Secondly, it sucks on a deeper level because this is a game about street fighting. By forcing people who want to play characters who are, like, enlightened chi types to prioritize their mental attributes, you're forcing them not to prioritize their physical attributes, which means you're going to end up with characters, especially starting characters, in Street Fighter, who have trouble holding their own against, like, regular tough guys in an actual fist fight. Which seems very counter to Street Fighter, right? When you think about the characters with big chi powers, like Dhalsim, M. Bison, Ryu maybe, they're also badasses. They can also just kick your ass with good old-fashioned punches and headbutts and whatnot. Social is the very worst choice, because if you prioritize social attributes, those don't support any of your maneuvers. And, I mean, look, you think that bards have a little bit of difficulty contributing from time to time in certain versions of D&D? Just try playing a character whose thing is manipulation in a game of Street Fighter. What would that even look like? You don't have to ask, because we're about to find out. We are prioritizing social attributes for Marie. Just to make this viable, so as not to totally screw over today's character, I am, in her case, permitting some extended rules from a site I really want to give a shout out to. It is sfrpg.com. There is a sort of fan supplement on the site called the G-File. This has been a long-running project to sort of keep the Street Fighter role-playing game alive, and the G-File contains some extra rules. It contains some extra stats for characters who've been introduced to the Street Fighter canon since the game line ceased publication. It's a great resource. It's always heartening to see RPG fans continuing to spit in the face of fate and just play the hell out of a role-playing game that is long since dead in terms of publication. I always love to see it. And the G-File offers something that the game really needs, which is extended rules for animal companions. Thus, we have Marie's pet, Calming. Using these rules, Marie can get Calming's help in combat and direct him with her social attributes, which gives her a way to use her social attributes in a street fight. So we've had to reach into fan supplement territory to make this viable, which just goes to show how goofy it is. Really, the whole idea of prioritizing mental, physical, or social is totally inappropriate to Street Fighter. It's a rare example of a thing from the World of Darkness system that was, number one, really bad for Street Fighter, and number two, was not meaningfully adapted or fixed for Street Fighter. And so it just kind of sits there being a weird little vestigial tale on this game. Anyway, that said, we're prioritizing social. Per Cludru's instructions, appearance is the lowest of these. We'll talk about Marie's specific appearance later, but suffice it to say for now that she looks fine, but it's not really her thing. So we're only going to give her an average appearance of 2. That means we can have charisma and manipulation both at 4. We're going to do physical attributes secondary. I don't have a ton of guidance here about what's sort of important about the character, but I do know that she's big, so I'm going to err more on the side of strength and stamina versus dex. So I'm landing on strength 3, dex 2, stamina 3, with maybe the understanding that while she fully recovered from the IED blast that ended her military service, maybe she doesn't have quite the spring in the step that she used to, which has maybe affected her chosen fighting style. Mental is tertiary, and I don't see any reason not to do average across the board here. This character is going to have a lot of abilities. That comes with having a lot of backstory. You need a lot of abilities to make good on that backstory. She needs just about every skill, so I'm prioritizing those. Next up is talents, and then finally knowledges. I may end up spending some freebies here. For skills, I'm giving her blind fighting 1, drive 2 from the military background, leadership 1, once again military, same with security 1, pretty much same with stealth 1, and then I'm giving her survival 3 since she lived alone in the woods for quite a while and also has that military training. I think she can really take care of herself. She's pretty self-sufficient. Over on talents, she's got alertness 1, interrogation 1. She's got intimidation 2. I think that that's a good tactic for her since she's quite a social character. She's big, imposing, and socially skilled, so intimidation will be a good way for her to back people off of fights if she doesn't want to have needless violence. She's also got insight, too, because she is that kind of like wander-the-earth philosopher martial artist character a little bit. And she's got subterfuge 1, just because she is socially sophisticated, so she can hold her cards close to her chest. Finally, for knowledges, I'm giving her computer 1 and medicine 1 just because of her personal background. Finally, I've given her style lore 2. She's studied 3 styles herself, and she's in the street fighting game to like understand the practice of violence. So she's definitely going to be interested in how different people fight, and she's going to know some things about different styles. So style lore 2, and I think that's going to be growing all the time. This takes us to backgrounds, and Marie is going to be a little spread out here as well. She definitely needs animal companion for calming. At 3 dots, she can have a remarkable animal and some degree of empathic rapport with it. I figure calming is a pretty big husky who's quite intelligent, so let's say that's remarkable. And she has quite a lot of empathy with calming. Nothing supernatural. She's not Beastmaster or anything. She's just got a good relationship with this dog. So Animal Companion 3 seems about right. She definitely needs a dot of resources and a dot of sensei. We know she's got at least one martial arts teacher still in the mix. Certainly from the dojo, maybe from the reservation as well. I'd also like her to have a manager, but I'm out of background points. So this is another place I might want to hit with freebies if I have any left at the end of this. Onward now to techniques. Looking at the overlap between Special Forces and Shotokan Karate, I need to give her some grab because of Native American wrestling. Where I landed on this was punch 1, kick 3, that's her big damage dealing technique, block 2, and grab 2. So competent wrestler, she's a little weak on the punching, but she can do it more for speed than for anything else. And then kick 3, that's like her heavy hitter. Now we're on to the good part, special maneuvers. First of all, let's turn to the fan supplement and see how you fuck somebody up with a big old husky. So looking over it, there's some really cool stuff here for animals. Particularly, there's a neat mechanic called synergy, where you pick one of the moves you know, and then you take synergy, which allows you to add your animal companion's damage modifier to that. So basically, when you tackle a guy, your dog also tackles that guy. When you kick somebody, your dog bites their ankle. That's really cool, but it's not very good for Marie, because her fighting skills, while fine, are not like at the level of other Street Fighters. The dog is not really a supplement here. Calming is doing a lot of the heavy lifting, so the synergy is not really as effective for her. There's something here called the rush tackle. It builds off of the rush maneuver, and this is just where your animal tackles somebody. The rush, they just hit them, but the rush tackle, they actually knock them over. And I want calming to be able to do this, particularly because in many cases outside of like a formal street fight, this is going to be followed up not with like a kick to the temple while the person is down, but with Marie looming over them and saying, let's rethink our positions. So I love this rush tackle. I want it. I have to take rush for 3 points and rush tackle for 2 points. That's 5 of my 7 points. So a little bit pricey, makes up a big portion of her special maneuvers, but it's what I got to do. Once again, these work really well for Marie because the speed is based on her manipulation and the damage is based on her charisma, plus some dot fuckery that we have to do with her animal companion to determine like calming's damage modifier, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not really going to do that on Mike. If you want to check out these animal rules for Street Fighter, do go download the G file. It's cool. That leaves me with 2 points, and, you know, she is a Street Fighter. Marie does have to have some moves of her own. The move that really fits the bill here is the flying knee thrust, but unfortunately, it requires a dot of athletics. And you know what? I'm going to go back, and I'm going to remove a dot of block and put in athletics, because flying knee thrust is dead cheap for Special Forces. It's like 1 point. It costs a willpower to use, which she has plenty of because she's in Special Forces. And it gets bonuses, albeit small ones, to speed, damage, and move, importantly. With only one dot of athletics now, she's not moving very far when she does her moves. For the most part, she can send calming to rush out and tackle people, but to do anything herself, she needs to get in there, and this flying knee thrust is going to help her do it. In fact, I think it might make a lot of sense to chain the flying knee thrust to the rush tackle in a combo, because that way if she has calming take somebody down a couple of hexes away from her, then she can jump in with the flying knee thrust. She's at +2 speed because of the combo. Her opponent's at -2 speed because they just got knocked down and they're getting up. They're going to have a hard time defending themselves from that hard-hitting move. So that's where I'm spending that final point. Rush tackle to flying knee thrust. That special maneuver sorted. Now we're on to Renown. Glory versus Honor. I think I'm going to totally load her up with Honor. Her being philosophically against the kind of violence involved with firearms works really well with the idiosyncratic Street Fighter Honor code, which is very anti-gun and pro, like, arcane restrictions on how we fight. You know, you can hit somebody with a mace, but God forbid you should slap their ear or, like, pull the hair. So that seems right up her alley. Honor 3 works. Chi and willpower has always come straight out of the style. And now we're on to freebie points. I think, first of all, I got to get these backgrounds shored up. She needs a manager. I want to give her an extra dot of animal companion, get it up to 4, just because with these rules from the G file, every extra point there adds to the power of the rush and the rush tackle, and she's really relying heavily on that. Plus, you know what? Her relationship with this dog, it's a big part of her spiritual journey. I don't know. I'll admit it. I'm just giving in to temptation. Once you've got a husky doing your fighting for you, being able to make that husky bigger and faster and more majestic at like 1 freebie point per dot, it's just irresistible. It's like playing penny slots. I can't stop. Although I will stop at 4, because if I take it to 5, we're verging too much into Bull Onion territory. We've already got a fighter with 5 and animal companion who's like outdoorsy and surprisingly social, so a little too much overlap here if she's got like a truly mythical, like, totem wolf type character. So Calming is just a regular dog, albeit a beautiful and deadly one. So animal companion 4. That leaves me with 13 freebie points. I want to bump up Sensei as well. I want her to have a pretty strong Sensei. I'll take that to 3. Resources up to 2. Manager up to 2. That leaves her with 9 freebie points. I'm going to spend 7 of those to give her one more move of her own, Throw. Very basic, very simple, appropriate to all 3 of the styles she's studied. And it's useful for her because she can decide where to throw her opponent. She'd like them to be exactly 2 hexes away, please, so that she can do her rush tackle to flying knee thrust combo. So this gives her an ability to set people up for that. That leaves 2 freebie points, and I'm going to use that to increase her subterfuge by 1 point, just because she is a social character. You know, I want her to have decent stats in really the only 2 key social skills of intimidation and subterfuge. Leadership can stay at 1. She's finding herself. All right, now let's talk about details. Appearance. I have this from Cludrew. Quote, big and slightly bear-like, short hair. Modern clothes, though, maybe something with a pattern to represent the school. I am no expert on fashion. First Nations people seem to be quite willing to put multiple and bright colors in their formal wear, which is something those of European descent tend not to do. Also, there's a note here that Calming is a typical husky complete with mismatched eyes. So that's adorable. I'll just have to take Cludrew's word for it that we can come up with some kind of colorful but not cartoonish garb that expresses some heritage, both from the First Nations side and also representing the Shotokan karate school that she attended. Probably this is going to look a little eclectic, hopefully so, because she is a Street Fighter character, and she needs to look like she is dressed for erotic pro wrestling cosplay, aka pro wrestling. For equipment, we actually do have some of it prescribed by Cludrew. She has a truck with a War Amps drive safe sticker and a milk bag jug. Very Canadian there. I do appreciate that. For quirks, I don't feel any need to sprinkle any more salt on this. I think that this is a pretty well-rounded character. There's a little extra here about her social style from Cludrew, who writes, I picture the character occasionally tearing apart someone's position in conversation, but doing so in such a polite way that no one realizes that is what is happening. She mostly uses the social skills to try and figure out what makes people tick, slash, fight, them presenting bad reasons would lead to the aggressive part of the conversation above, and to try to talk people out of useless fights. So she wants to understand people. She's quite polite. That counts as a quirk. That's two for two on Canadian Street Fighters and politeness, although Marie seems more authentic about it than Jacques Mousse. So I think that's good for quirks. She's quirky enough. All we really need to add is a signature, a victory pose. I think what seems right here to me is that she sits down, cross-legged on the ground, and Calming sits next to her, and they're both just very peaceful. It's not very dramatic, but I think that that's what she's cultivating is a peace, an understanding of what violence is, and an ability to use it as much as necessary and no more. So I think like sitting down after the match, it shows trust, it shows sportsmanship, it shows serenity. It's like Qui-Gon Jinn in The Phantom Menace when he's fighting Darth Maul in like the 6 good minutes of that movie. Yeah, I like this. So that's her victory pose. So that's it. That is Marie Roy, the soul-searching veteran Street Fighter, not the competitive gamer. And all that remains now is for the very obliging Cludrew, who gave me all this to work with. We'll find out what Cludrew thinks about what I came up with. Cludrew writes, quote, when I sat down to the character, I asked myself, how do I cram as much of Canada into one character as I can? And this was the result. And you managed to carry all of that across into the final character, from the IED blast in the stat line to the milk jug in the equipment list. And let's be hard-nosed for a second. Let's say that preserving what's already there is a meets expectations thing. In the choices I gave and the gaps you filled, you brought forth the Canadian peacekeeper idea forward in many ways I wasn't expecting. Exceeds expectations, A+. So the A+ makes me feel really good, of course, as a good grade always does, but I just have to follow up with the sign-off from this message I got from Cludrew. Quote, thank you for producing the show that does more to get me out of the door in the morning than Tim Horton's coffee. Coming from a Canadian, that means a lot. I really do appreciate it. And I hope that I did my Canadian listeners proud, my Canadian dumbheads, or Timbits, as they are known. That's it for this episode. Join me next time when a challenger appears on MDC's Wiki World Warriors. Wiki World Warriors is a Mega Dumbcast miniseries made possible by listeners like you, who contribute to the show on Patreon. A new episode will drop every day except for Sunday until all 12 World Warriors have been revealed. If you'd like to contribute to Mega Dumbcast and you'd like access to a special RSS feed of MDC Megasodes to help you binge the show's back catalog, sign up at patreon.com/megadumbcast. I am Mega Dumbcast on Gmail, Podbean, Twitter, and Instagram. The Street Fighter RPG is by White Wolf, and the Street Fighter franchise, including all associated trademarks, is property of Capcom. This episode's music, used under a Creative Commons license, is Fire Darer by Sawsquare Noise. Find more music at n.sawsquarenoise.com. That's en.sawsquarenoise.com. This episode is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial share-alike license. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time. Now go home and be a family man.